All right. Thank you, guys. Hey, if you've been tracking with us in January, we have launched this, however you call it, an initiative, a vision, or just a call to the Church of Jesus Christ to stand in the truth of God's word and what he's revealed, who he is. You know, we're living in a culture that is under so much attack from the enemy and just endless barrage and waves from our culture that point to everything except for truth. And this January, we've really set out to say, what is the truth that God has revealed to us? And how, as Christians, can we stand in that truth, anchored to the rock of ages as the flood just pours against us, to endure and to stand and to navigate in the world in which we live? A couple weeks ago, we talked about this question, who is God? And we answered it in a week. No, I'm just kidding. We got the conversation started, and we had a great time on Sunday morning unpacking, and then Sunday night at 6 o'clock discussing the idea of what it is that God has revealed to us and who he is and what it means that he has revealed himself to us and how we ought to live and act. We asked the question a couple weeks ago that Jesus asked his disciples, yeah, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? And what does it mean when you come to the reality of who this Savior and this Lord and this Messiah and this King Eternal is and how it affects how we live? Well, this morning, we're going to unpack this question, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And it's easy. It's simple. We're going to undo it just a couple minutes, and you'll have all the answers. But if you're still confused at all or you have questions, tonight at 6 o'clock, Creekor is going to answer everything that I leave untouched. Actually, it's a conversation we're going to have starting this morning, and tonight, bring your questions and your conversations because there is so much that goes into this idea of who is the Holy Spirit. And I would challenge you that as Christians, sometimes I'm not sure that if I said, hey, who's the Holy Spirit? Give me a definition, that we'd be able to maybe define it very well, which is maybe why it's important to take some time to talk about who is this Holy Spirit that's been revealed to us. I think we say God the Father who sits upon the throne. Okay, the creator of all. Yeah, I got it. Jesus, the Son, who died on the cross and kicked open the tomb and is resurrected and paid the atonement. Man, I got it. And then God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, right? Now, Scripture teaches us really clearly there are three distinct persons in this triune God, and yet they're all one, right? But they're also all distinct, an individual, and a person of the Trinity. And if you're confused by that, that would put you in the majority of anybody who's ever paid attention to the idea of the Trinity. You and I live in this world with finite minds trying to grasp the infinite, and God has revealed mystery to us, but he also requires an element of faith for us to step in faith and trust him to believe what he says and who he's revealed himself to be. And there are some things that we can't answer about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But this Friday night, a bunch of guys and I hung out at this really fun barn. And well, it's a really nice room, actually. It's like a girl barn, let's say it like that. My wife would hang out in this barn. And we shot a video that I think helps really capture this idea of Trinity in a way that really helps. If you watch football at all like I do, because I need to pray for the Colts on a regular basis, very committed to that prayer life. You've probably seen some Patrick Mahomes bundle commercials. I don't know if you have or haven't. If you haven't, I apologize. You're going to be like, what in the world are you doing? If you have seen it, you're going to be like, well, I apologize. What in the world are you doing? But check this out. Here's basically the gist. Might need some audio, Debbie. Here we go.
Guys, Trinity comes down to one word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's three. Now we can bundle them.
There you go. If you've not seen the commercial, I apologize, but that was some pretty stellar acting, right? And let me just also mention that if you happen to see some guys in a gorilla suit after church, just look the other way. There's nothing going on that you need to worry about just yet. because we have 2 weeks until the Super Bowl, and we shoot some crazy Super Bowl commercials around here, and this year is no, it's no lack for the insanity, let me tell you. But this is actually kind of a nice way to look at it, because in truth, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're revealed to us as one, right? And in my class the other day, I had somebody ask, like, oh, like, so 33%, 33%, 33% of God. Yeah. No, not really. 100%, 100%, 100%, which when you put together, my math skills are not epic, but I think that's somewhere around 300%. That doesn't compute for us, does it? And yet it's who he has revealed himself to be. And I think if we're not careful, we tend to weigh these persons of the Trinity a little bit differently. We give God a certain weight and importance, and Jesus a certain weight and importance. And then the Holy Spirit is kind of like, well, it's God's essence, God's spirit. So sort of part of God. And so is he really a distinct person in the Trinity or not? And how does that look? And we're talking spirit. And so that's weird. And then we throw in these tongues things and weird gift stuff. And then all we have are fights all over the church trying to figure out who's the most spiritual and who's the most spirit filled. And I'm going to answer none of those questions this morning, but tonight you can, I'm just kidding. Don't miss tonight if you have any questions about this morning, but this is a tough thing to unpack. And I think one thing that's helpful is to just stop and see what scripture reveals to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, his role in our life, what it means, what he does. And maybe that helps us see a little bit more of who is this amazing Spirit of God at work in us. So let's take some time and look at the Holy Spirit together this morning. Now, I want to start with this idea that the Holy Spirit is, when we get into the language of the Bible in both Hebrew and the Old Testament, but especially Greek in the New Testament, we're going to see some really interesting things. And the God Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. He's not God's spirit that he broke off himself and tossed down to earth for us after the whole Jesus ascension thing, right? It's not it. He is fully God in the same sense that God the Father is fully God, in the same sense that Jesus is fully God, in the same sense that all of them are God. Three distinct persons, and yet one. So the person of the Holy Spirit has some work that he does that the Bible clearly tells us about. And to do that, I'm going to use what really good preachers do. They make some kind of weird acronym thing with a bunch of letters. I think I got one too many in this one, actually. I forgot to delete one, but maybe it's like the bonus C that you can think of. Now, here's a limitation in language is that there are not very many C words that help that much. So I'm going to cheat a little bit, but that's okay because we're in church and when you cheat in church, no, that's not how that works. But anyways, just roll with me on it. Here we go. So let's take a look at some of the things the Holy Spirit does and maybe those roles will help us understand. One thing when we think about the Holy Spirit that we see really clearly in scripture is this idea of counselor, that the Holy Spirit is the counselor. If we look over in John chapter 14, verse 26, we read this, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, will teach you in all things and remind you of everything that I have said. The counselor, aka the Holy Spirit. Now, different translations are going to use a little different term here. You might see in your Bible the word comforter. You might see the word helper. You might also see this cool word advocate. And all of these can kind of be interchanged depending on which Greek scholar you want to stand by and argue with. But they do a great job of encompassing a role and a responsibility that's significant that God's Spirit does for us. God sent his Spirit to reside in us, to dwell in us, to counsel, to what? To teach and to remind us of the truth that Jesus revealed to us about who God is and what it means and how we live. So the Holy Spirit exists to speak to your heart and to your spirit the truth and to counsel and guide your decision-making and your thinking. And when we sit and we listen quietly to the voice of God speak, often we can hear or feel the impression or see him at work communicating to us counsel and guidance and direction. He's there to bring comfort and encouragement, to support and help. He comes alongside us as believers and followers of Christ to give us strength and endurance and encouragement. And I love this word advocate. It's a really cool legal term, and we'll get into that a little later as well. But you're going to see in an interesting way, if God the Father sits upon the throne and all of us will one day stand before him and face judgment as Jesus rules and judges the nations, because he's God and Jesus one, right? Sorry, complicated it. There's this really cool idea of advocacy that the Holy Spirit fills for us. He helps us, not just as we navigate this life, but he helps us in the transition to eternity too. So this counselor role is a really significant one. And sometimes we don't listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't listen to what he might say through us or through others. Now, this also is where it gets really funky, because I don't know if you've ever been in a place where people are like, well, the Holy Spirit told me I'm supposed to do this, so you have to shut up and do what I say. Like, that's not usually how the Holy Spirit works, just for the record, right? The Holy Spirit will bring impression upon our heart and speak to us in ways as we open up our word of the Bible and dig into God's word. Sometimes he communicates some really powerful things in that space. Sometimes he'll use morons like me who are preachers talking and trying our best to stay in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. And you know, my job as a pastor is to spend time with the Holy Spirit and ask him, man, what do you want to say, Lord, to your people? How can I communicate this clearly? It's so funny to me, like even like yesterday, I'm standing in my office doing something and all of a sudden these light bulbs just go boom. Oh yeah. Oh. Almost like it's not my amazing brain putting things together, but instead the Holy Spirit who is in charge directing. I hate to admit that, you know, because then Jamie knows that I'm not really in charge, Jamie. Got it. I thought maybe you knew that. I wasn't totally sure. Yeah. I love, like, Krikor and I have had a lot of fun working on this series together, or like when Rusty and I like talk about something, or Dax and I are hitting something on it, or Tom with the kids, and like you just watch the Holy Spirit orchestrate and put things together, and you're like, it's a good thing that I wasn't in charge of planning that, because I would have botched that. But wow, he's good in what he does, isn't he? I love his timing and his work. But we got to submit to that. And we also have to be careful to be discerning, because people abuse the idea of the Holy Spirit in them, teaching them, guiding them, as though they're a moral authority. And you got to make sure you check everything with God's word and with truth. If somebody comes to you and says, the Holy Spirit told me I'm supposed to commit adultery with this woman, you know, I'm just going to go out on a crazy limb and be like, nah, that really wasn't the Holy Spirit probably doing that, man. Some spirit, yes, but not the Holy One, right? Definitely not, because he's never going to contradict his word and his truth. So we got to check them. So comforter, counselor, right? Jesus said this too. I find this encouraging. He's talking to his disciples who are super bummed that he's bailing, right? He's like, I'm going to heaven. I did my 3 years. This is rough down here. I mean, not really what he said, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I love this moment from Jesus. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. He's going to leave the disciples. And you can imagine the disciples are like, wait, we just got it. You're God. Please don't go, right? And he's like, listen, I could stay. I could. But believe me, the Holy Spirit is going to take this to the next level. You want him to come, and I got to go so he can come. That's a cool, comforting reality. Because sometimes we use this abandonment thing, right? Like we're stuck down here dealing with all this stuff and Jesus is in heaven and I don't know when we're going to get there. But dude, he sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to guide us, to direct us, to be able to help us navigate this crazy world around us and to bring us joy and hope and life and purpose and meaning in such amazing ways. But we got to stay in step with the Spirit, right? We got to live by the Spirit, be in tune with the Spirit. So this is a gift and this is exciting. And it's wonderful that the Holy Spirit is accessible to those of us in Christ. We have some responsibility to make sure we're in tune and connected to him. And don't feel bad that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, because Jesus is God and he's also the Holy Spirit and he's also in you. So he's still here. Sorry. I love these mind-bending games. Let's go for another seat to see if we can get our minds around this. Counselor, how about this one? Convictor. Now, I know that's not a word. You can stick an ER on the end of anything I heard in English class, so it kind of works. Don't try that at school. Convictor. The scripture says this in John 16:8 as Jesus continues, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, this is kind of a big deal, and here's why. Sometimes we think our calling is to convict people of sin. I'm supposed to tell you you're sinning. Stop it. Except that's not really my job. It's kind of the Holy Spirit's job. Now, in love, maybe I speak a little truth and encouragement, right? But if I were to say, Jed, you're a sinner and you stink, knock it off, you're terrible and rotten, that would just be another day at our house. But really, no, I'm just kidding, Jed, that's not what I said at all. Jed's a great guy. But if I said something like that, that's condemning, right? That's destructive. But if I was like, Zach, man, I'm looking at this situation you're walking through, man, and it just seems like there's a real struggle going on and things just aren't playing out quite right. I mean, like, are you doing okay? Because I love you and I care about you and God's got some really good stuff for us in this crazy adventure we're on. Are you doing okay? That's love, right? That's not condemnation. But if I just get on people and call them out for their sin endlessly, that's a little bit more like trying to be convicting. The Holy Spirit's already at work. He is at work all around. And what's cool is, who's he convicting here? The Christians? The whole world. We're like, man, all those sinful people, they're not listening. You're right. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not speaking. He's speaking. He's speaking constantly. And Jesus said, we stand at the door and knock, right? Doesn't say, I kick the door open and I come in and I demand obedience. But he patiently knocks. And he offers to reside and connect and to redeem. But we resist him, right? And can you resist the Holy Spirit endlessly and over and let your heart grow calloused and hard? Well, sure, we see that in scripture. Guys by the name of, I don't know, Pharaoh had their hearts grow hardened as they continued to say no, right? That can happen. And we can get so numbed out that we're not listening and we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we don't feel things like we used to, right? I tell people all the time, like, man, if you feel some conviction, if you're conflicted and your heart's kind of like aching in you, like, maybe I'm too far gone. Maybe I've blown it. Maybe God's done with me. You're fine. Just get up and follow him. Let's go. You're fine. If your heart's sensitive enough that you can feel the Holy Spirit nudge you, you're fine. I don't mean you're fine staying in sin. I mean, you're not done. Get up. Let's go. He's offering you opportunity to stand up on that narrow road and keep following him, right? The devil would tell you, oh, stay down. You're done, right? But if you can feel and you can sense and you have conviction in your life, the Holy Spirit's still at work. And I would tell you, man, love the people around you. You don't need to compromise on truth, but you don't need to be out beating people over the head with truth. You can love people and encourage people and see opportunity to speak life and encouragement and a little truth mixed in there for sure in your conversations with people, because the Holy Spirit is working so much harder than you are at trying to convict of sin. It's what he does. We should join him in that process, not make that process more complicated by being jerks, right? Who then make it look like the Holy Spirit's a jerk too when he's not. But he is at work convicting the world of sin. He's also, and this is like a total cheat, I don't know, but I'm gonna put two C's in here. He is an occupant of our hearts, right? I know that starts with an O, but the two C's cancel. It's like a math equation you wouldn't understand. Okay, so occupant, this is what scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? He makes his dwelling. He resides in you. He lives in you. Now, I know this sounds like the most boring thing to say about Jesus and being a Christian, that you're the temple of God and God lives in you. And people are like, blah, blah, blah. I've heard it a million times. Can I just say to you, imagine what it would look like if you actually believed that God's Spirit took up residence in you. Everywhere you went, everything you did, inside your brain and your thoughts and what you allow yourself to fantasize about or hold on to or whatever, he's present. He's right there. Wouldn't it revolutionize the way that we live if we really believed that the Spirit of the living God has taken up residence, that his address is my heart, Noblesville, Indiana, right? Whatever that is. But that's what scripture teaches us, that he is the occupant of our heart if we allow him in. And if we welcome him in, he comes into our life and he takes up residence. And when he's there, it affects how we think and what we choose to do or not do and how we act and how we live. So many times we're like, man, Jesus is my co-pilot. Or, you know, Jesus is my friend. We hang out sometimes. Well, here's the thing about friends and co-pilots. They don't live in you. You know what I mean? They're not in you. That's a 24/7, 365 till you're dead kind of vibe, right? All the time. And we ought to live like that as followers of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is a counselor to us. He convicts of sin and he takes up residence in us. This one I love, but I hate the C word. I'm sorry. It's communicator. And it's a C word that kind of works, but it's so weak in explaining how the Holy Spirit communicates on our behalf and in us. He is actually, scripture says, an intercessor for us. He intercedes on our behalf. And this is where that advocate word kind of comes in really cool. He is like a court-appointed advocate from the courts of heaven itself to serve on our behalf, to be an advocate for us. Check out what this scripture says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit of God himself intercedes for us, for the people of God. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. We don't even know what to say. And we're just agonizing in our heart, and we want to even express something to God, or we need to express something to God, and we can't even figure out how to formulate it and put it into words or even express it, or we don't feel like we're worthy to express it, or we're too ashamed to express it, or we're struggling to just even communicate or even try. And the Spirit of God himself that resides in us interprets the groanings and the yearning and the longing of our heart and puts it into words and expression to our Heavenly Father on our behalf. That's pretty stinking cool. You might be like, I don't really know how to pray. Well, guess what? The Spirit of God that lives in you sure does. And he knows your heart. He knows what you long for. Now, does that mean I shouldn't bother to pray? I'm on autopilot prayer. The Holy Spirit's doing it for me. It's not quite the same deal, right? But the Holy Spirit is so in tune with our spirit that he interprets the groanings and the longings of our heart in expression to God in worship, in praise, in petition and request, all of it. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool role that the Holy Spirit fills in the life of the believer. Sometimes we make the mistake, and we're going to see it in a second, with we get into gifts, we prioritize how maybe an expression of prayer from the Holy Spirit puts us in a different stage of spiritual hierarchy than somebody else around us. And I would just say this, man, the Holy Spirit knows you. If you're following Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit residing in you, he knows you. And how that expression gets formulated, man, he's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. He's the one at work. And he's going to do some amazing things if you humble yourself and let him be in charge. Let's take a look at this next one, which creates a lot of problems for people. And it's this. I'm going to use the word conductor. I could use conduit, like conduit, but a conduit is like a pipeline of power, right? Or electricity or water. And that pipeline is great, but it's so much more than just some conduit of power. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this huge, amazing passage about spiritual gifts. And I would challenge you that probably in the evangelical church, this is one of the most divisive passages of scripture, and very few people actually read it well and understand it well, or it wouldn't really be divisive at all. In fact, I'm going to read a little section from 7 through 11 from the New Living Translation that I think, I'm not always the biggest fan of the NLT. I mean, there's so many translations, they drive me nuts, but I like the simplicity of this expression. So check this out in the New Living Translation. As we're talking about spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers, you'll recognize them, you know, tongues and healing and prophecy and who's got what because they're better than everybody else and more spiritual. And if you pray in tongues and you got it, and if you don't, ooh, problems, man, or whatever your dynamic is that you've experienced. But instead of all that stuff, take a look at what the Bible says really clearly to the church right here in, where are we at? Corinth, right? Sorry, my bad. A spiritual gift, starting in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Did you know that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to the body so that we can serve one another? So that we can accomplish His work, not our work, but His work? And He gives it to us to put in practice. And I think it says each of us. So I'm not sure who gets left out in the each of us, but it seems like each of us have been given spiritual gift or gifts by the Holy Spirit to use. And so you might ask yourself a really rotten pastor question like, am I using my spiritual gifts? What are my spiritual gifts? The ladies just went through a neat series on Sunday morning, so we're excited to see those ladies get to work. No, I'm just kidding. But spiritual gifts are a big deal, and we all have them, and we all ought to be using them to serve one another in the body of Christ. And if you're not serving, you're sitting. And that's not exactly what the New Testament's about. So a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from God from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. We'd call that tongues. And another given the ability to interpret those tongues, what's being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and He alone decides which gifts each person should have. I love it. He's a conductor, right? He's not just the one who conducts the electricity, that He's the one who gets us connected to the power of God and those spiritual gifts at work in our life. He is that, but He's also the conductor, right? He is the one conducting and orchestrating how the gifts get used, right? He is the one who distributes these gifts, and He alone decides who gets what gift for what purpose. So we have all these denominations that get all up in arms fighting about, well, you're not saved unless you speak in tongues, or you're not more spiritual unless you can prophesy or bring healing, and if you're not healed, you lack faith. And man, there's just so much nonsense about us trying to be in charge of spiritual gifts instead of submitting to the lordship of the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who's the distributor, the conductor, the one who's in charge of spiritual gifts. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we ought to come in submission to Him and say, Lord, what is the spiritual gift of my life, maybe? Maybe you know what it is and you're using it. That's great. Maybe you don't know, and maybe you need to explore that to understand more of what it means to walk in obedience with the giftedness that God's placed in your life supernaturally, because He says He has, right? And we definitely shouldn't use it as some kind of division, because if this guy's got prophecy and this guy's got healing, which one's better? Or if this person is there to serve and discern about spirits being from God and not, and this person is speaking in a different tongue, which one's better? Which one's more important? Which one's more spiritual? Neither or both. I don't care how you count it. They're the same. They're equal. And that's really important to understand about what the Holy Spirit is at work doing. We ought to seek to understand the giftedness God gives us. We ought to employ it, put it to work, so that we are being obedient to using the giftedness God has placed in us, rather than being, I would say, sinful and disobedient and just sitting on our giftedness and not being willing to work and help others and serve others in the body of Christ as part of that. But He's the one who's in charge. He distributes. He conducts. It's His deal. And the last C I'm going to give you is this one. Go brush your teeth. Crest. Or wait, no, I'm sorry. This is more like family crest, if you know what I mean. Scripture says this in Ephesians 1:13. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit. A family crest is a symbol that you belong to the family. And the Holy Spirit, in this family crest kind of way, is the stamp of God that says, you're mine. You're part of my family. You're part of the family of God if the Holy Spirit resides in you. And we'll see evidence of the Holy Spit, right? Fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Glad I remember that song from kids' church. The reality is there ought to be fruit in our life that's evidence that the Spirit resides and lives in us, right? Fruit doesn't start with a C, so I can't have it up there, but you get the gist, right? There's a lot more to what the Holy Spirit does. This is just a little sampling of the role that he fills that's clearly laid out for us in Scripture. And guys, if we're going to be people who stand, we've got to be people who live by the Spirit. And that's not some weird supernatural, like, hocus-pocus way to do life. It's just simply being in tune with the counselor who gives guidance and direction, being sensitive to the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings, living in the reality that he occupies this space, praying in and through the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, right? Allowing him to conduct how the giftedness that he puts in us is put to work and what it looks like and yielding and being obedient to that and living in a way that has a little family resemblance going because the seal of the Holy Spirit is on the life of those who follow Christ. That's what we're called to be about. That's what it looks like, just a little bit, to live by the Spirit and to stand in the power of the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit as we navigate this life around us. That's a lot to take in. Easy peasy. Any questions, come tonight, 6 o'clock. It'll be great. You'll have them all answered. And if you could, think of some hard questions because Creekor got off easy this morning with me doing all this stuff. So, yeah. Hey, we're going to close in prayer, but this conversation and this journey and adventure of standing is not even close to over because we are going to talk next week about who is man, sexuality, gender. Oh, that's going to be a fun conversation. Don't miss it. And online, we might get knocked off by YouTube, but that's kind of fun. So let's pray, and then we're going to continue to walk out living in the Spirit together as the body of Christ, the family of God. I am thankful that you're a part of this adventure together that we're on. And not one person here who has a relationship with Jesus Christ can't access who this Holy Spirit is in your life. He wants to live in you, dwell in you, empower you, walk with you, guide you, all of it. It's all available for those in Christ. Father, thank you so much. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, you're incredible. We don't understand the complexity of the Trinity. We like to sound fancy and try a thousand ways. But at the end of the day, we submit to the reality that you have revealed to us in your word. We're not God, you are. And we understand some parts, and we're so thankful that you've revealed to us the parts that matter so that we can live and experience everything you have for us in it. Father, I pray that in this week ahead for us, that we would walk in the power of the Spirit. As you say in your word, that we'd keep in step, that your Spirit would lead us, guide us, and direct us, and empower us. We want to stand. We want to communicate love and encouragement to the people around us who are dealing with the conviction you're bringing into their life. Help us to be people who are rescuing and not condemning. And Lord, help us to love well in this week ahead by the power of your Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit be on display in our life. And Father, I pray that any confusion that the enemy wants to bring would be stamped out by the power of your word and truth. Help us tonight as we dig in more to the complexities of trying to grasp who you are, which maybe is a crazy idea to even try. But it sure is fun. We're so thankful you've revealed to us just enough. Thank you for your love. I pray you bless, guide, and direct. Be with so many folks who are sick this morning and everybody dealing with stuff this flu season. Pray for healing from the power of your Holy Spirit and stamina and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.